Don't scoff. Don't be scoffers. What do we mean? Don't scoff. Oh, thank you. Remind us at the end. Don't scoff. Yeah, don't make fun. Don't ridicule. Don't dismiss. Treat lightly. Yeah. Last week, we gave a more personal word of exhortation and encouragement. Hey, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. New every morning is His love. This morning His love came afresh. Such is our covenant keeping God. Whatever we may personally be going through, it still is not what we deserve. Yet God does still see us and cares about us, whatever our distress, whatever the circumstances may be. Friends, when times are comparatively easy and straightforward, when we perhaps have money in the bank, our health is good, we've got work, the children are behaving themselves, the sweetness and light within the family and church, the danger is that we can just coast along, perhaps even becoming careless. Maybe it's as true for you as it is for me. Sometimes when the pressure is off, we may stop seeking God. It is when the enemy is perhaps more vocal and destructive, and we see some of his damage, and when perhaps we're in danger of becoming overwhelmed in our trouble and anxieties, that is when faith is put to the test, to see how genuine our faith is. Faith in a good God perhaps is easy when things are good. But faith in a good God, when perhaps we're in challenging circumstances and maybe under God's loving discipline, well, that is the true mark of a child of God. Whatever situation you're in this morning, if you have called on the Lord God, if you're trusting Him, I have to tell you, the Lord is dependable. He is very dependable. He changes not. This morning I just want to speak for a little while on what I believe is part of God's prophetic timetable and our role as ministers of His gospel and truth, and I include all who are seeking to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're servants, we're ministers. We have, I believe, been raised up for this hour and for this generation. I have to admit, folk, that to bring a true message from the Lord seldom these days meets with applause and favor of man. Just as in Jeremiah's day, so much of what is being spoken about in the prophetic, I feel, falls short of the biblical mandate. But it's what many want to hear. Now, I said this on Tuesday at the early morning prayer meeting. Well, it wasn't particularly early, but I probably was early for a lot of you. That's why you weren't here. But it was still 10 o'clock. Anyway, the Bible exhorts the Christian to be sober-minded and vigilant. It calls us to be discerners of spirits. Will you turn in the Scriptures to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians and chapter 5. 1 Corinthians and chapter 5. It's page 1015 if you have a church Bible. 1 Corinthians and chapter 5. Verse 14 of chapter 4. I think I said chapter 5. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says, I urge you, imitate me. Become a fool for Christ. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. Timothy, he trusted. He was faithful and he was beloved. He was beloved because he was a faithful friend and because he loved the Lord. He was dependable. Who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, Paul is saying, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? How you just sense Paul's pastoral heart. How he loved. How he wanted the best. How he wanted Timothy to make sure he was instructing the people in the ways of God. That they would be faithful and obedient to their master, Jesus Christ. He didn't want to come with a rod. He didn't want to have to exercise discipline in the church. Sometimes it's necessary. Or how much he rather that they would be loving disciples, edified in the word of God and loving and forgiving one another. Bearing with one another. Loving each other as we love the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a word in Revelation. You know the seven letters that Christ wrote to the churches, the seven churches. One, he says to the church at Sardis this, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I came upon you. So we are to be watchful. Each one of us, we are to be vigilant, watching. Vigilance. In 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, we have these words. Verse 1, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. But when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you are not in darkness, that this day should overtake you as a thief. Why? Because you are all sons and daughters of light. You are sons of the day. We are not of the night. We are not of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. But we have it this word again, let's watch and be sober. If others are doing the sleeping, don't you. Stay awake. Stay alert. Jesus needs you to stay awake. He has a message. He has something he wants you to accomplish in 2008. Which if you're asleep, you'll miss it. And if you miss it, somebody else who God wanted you to bless will miss it. I said the other day that I have never been so sobered as I reflect on the traumatic situation that has been developing for a little while in the universe and also in the professing church. And as I said on Tuesday, when I say I am sober about it, it doesn't mean I'm miserable or without hope. It doesn't mean that at all, but it does mean I'm aware of what is going on and what is on God's timetable will happen unless there is repentance. I believe there has never been such a broad pattern of events that are seen to all come together that so clearly indicate that the prophesied great tribulation will soon be upon us. But a tragedy is that the professing church largely ignores the truth. Now, what was a warning that the Apostle Peter gave in his second letter? We read it in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says this in verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fall asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. There will be scoffers. One of the problems when we go after material things is that we lose the sight of Christ coming. When we have worldly ambitions, our focus is off the Lord and that he is coming back. And I believe he will be coming back soon. You see, friends, the Bible tells us that very soon all that we presently take for granted will change dramatically. This human society as we know it is coming to an end. Never have we been in such need of the instructions that the writer to the Hebrews says when he talks about the pilgrims that have gone before us, the Abrahams, the Moses, and so on. He says that we are to confess that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth, as they did. They confessed this was not their home. They looked for something far better. They were passing through. Young people, you're passing through. Now, I'm getting an old man, but it still seems only yesterday I was sucking a bottle. Perhaps it was, but... but you know what I mean? Time is like a vapor. Isn't it? A day is like a thousand years like a day. And our breath is in the hands of our God. We have not a day to call our own, but we do have the day to redeem it, to make the most use of it so that others can be blessed and touched by the living Lord God. We are passing through. Home, real home, awaits us. A kingdom awaits you. Is your treasure in that kingdom? Things below decay. You've given something new which costs £250 at Christmas. By next Christmas, you want something else costing £350 because that is obsolete now. It's been dated. Some new technology has come along. Or you want a new one because it's broken. It's been misused or it's just worn out. Not so with God. Not so with eternal things. Not so with faith, trust. And you know, those people realize that they're just passing through as pilgrims, as strangers. God is not ashamed to call them brothers, sisters. He's not ashamed to call you his son,
his daughter, to be your God. That's what Hebrews says.
Now the Lord is saying, don't be scoffers of my word. What does Jesus himself say about these days we're living in? Well, in the Gospels, let's look at Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. This is a word for you and me. Again, this section is headed, the importance of watching. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Look, we are ministers of the Lord Jesus. We're his servants. We're his ambassadors. What a great calling. Our mandate that God has given to us is to watch and to seek to influence all who will hear, and that we have some influence over, that they, others, may come to the knowledge of the truth and be set free to love him and to serve him wholeheartedly. Our call is to pray. Our call is to intercede. I just want to list seven terrors which I believe have already begun but will intensify this year unless we all repent. And I'm just going to name them. One, the growing power and terror of Islam. This will particularly affect the Middle East, with Israel being marginalized more and more and perhaps being persuaded to make compromises, etc., and accept peace where there is no peace. But the terror of Islam will impact all of us. Two, the growing power of gay activists. The media, soaps, films, politicians, and a lot of the professing church have left no stone unturned in making what the Bible calls unnatural normal. Three, disease epidemics will intensify. Again, it's in the scriptures, it will happen. Look at what Jesus' own words, again in Matthew 24 or Luke 21. Without God's protection, millions will die from these coming pandemics. They will. We're already seeing it. God says it will happen. He's judging. Four, the sanctity and dignity of human life will be further eroded in both embryonic meddling and the terminating of life before birth and for those in senior years. Five, there will be increasing earthquakes, floods and fires. Don't think it's just God that sends some of these terrors. Men are meddling with nature. Men can produce tsunamis. The scientists know this. They're at work to produce an effect of fear and slaughter. God will allow it because the nations are being judged. Six, free fall in the economy. The debt crisis, personal, national, international, will explode. Our own Prime Minister, in one of today's papers, writing about the USA credit crunch as it spreads across the Atlantic, he is saying it is a difficult and dangerous situation for the world economy. Seven, lastly, and this applies particularly to the church, countless false prophecies are coming out and will continue in magnitude, are coming out from the so-called New Apostolic Reformation. This dominionist agenda of much of the professing church will become increasingly widespread, particularly within evangelical circles. What it is, it's about transforming cultures and societies, bringing heaven to earth, perfecting the bride of Christ on earth so it is, she is completely perfect, but has nothing to do with the gospel of repentance. But it's popular. The trouble is, it's dressed in slick packaging, even such as Hope 08. Now, we, friends, have been called by God and been raised to stand for truth and to love the Lord wholeheartedly and seek to be a trumpet sound. Hallelujah. We are to pray for those who persecute us and who are not standing up for biblical Christianity. These are not our enemies. There are spiritual powers at work. Let us take our place not in any sense of superiority, but in humble thankfulness to the Lord. If your eyes have been opened, may it lift up the biblical Jesus. The gospel of salvation is by faith in Christ and His shed blood on the cross. Our emphasis is placed upon repentance and conversion of individual sins, turning babes in Christ into devoted followers of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God in this age is spiritual and grows through the true church being faithful and obedient to the Great Commission in evangelizing the lost. Let us all, and young people, explore the truth. Explore the truth. Explore the issues that really matter. Children and young people, the Bible is not just a book to be read and digested, but it's a life choice to be lived out. Is to be shared and acted out with, is to be shared with others and acted upon. Ask God for an understanding heart. Ask God for an understanding heart that you may be able to discern between good and evil, between good and bad. Why? Because that pleases God. It is not easy living as a disciple of Jesus. It won't all be plain sailing. Being a Christian at school can be tough. There's tremendous pressure to conform, a constant temptation to compromise. At school, at college, lots of people get drunk. They spend their weekends and weeknights maybe partying. They may be having sex before marriage and stuff. And when you say, "I don't do that, I'm a Christian," you may well get laughed at. But God will back you up. God will honour you. God will give some oomph in you. The Holy Spirit will come and fill you to give you that courage to make good choices. And who knows who else you will influence because they saw Jesus at work. God will back you up. And He will also bring others who are on this journey of faith to accompany you. Those who also have met the real Jesus. I really want, and we're praying, that the Crawley New Life Church will truly inspire you young people and children to live courageous lives of obedience to Jesus Christ, and to have the guts, the tenacity, to do the right things when others are hell-bent on doing the wrong things. Young people, if your so-called Christian mates
are living immoral lives, doing stuff, using language the same as non-Christians, make a stand for Jesus, whatever the cost. Don't follow the crowd. Could end you in the pit. God doesn't want that, neither do you. You can't love stuff that is from the devil and love Jesus at the same time. What would it be? Young people, what would it be? I'm talking to us all. Don't let the enemy sow weeds, sow tares in your life. Don't let Satan mess with your destiny. Don't let Satan mess with your destiny. Oh, that we could have the cry of the psalmist in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, know my heart, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." All of us seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then wait as this awesome God puts His life, His Spirit, His power within you, transforming you, young people, children, into a mighty, faith-filled Christian who will make a difference because Christ is for you. And nothing can stop His glory affecting you and touching others, so that they too may repent of their sins and selfishness, and that they become fully devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. Yes, living as aliens, but full of God's life and anointing. Young people, children, old ones, it's the only life worth living, and you won't want to die unless you lived it by the grace of God. Sacrifice the lesser things in order to win the crown of life, the crown of glory. Let's live our lives in such a way. Young people, live your lives in such a way before your family, before your peers, your mates, that they will see Jesus and the footprints that you have left behind lead them to Him. The only way to prepare for Christ's second coming is to obey the commandments that He gave to us at His first command, at His first coming. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Then you'll be ready. I spoke of some solemn things which will happen in this year as the Lord tarries. But no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens in the professing church, let this word hit home. You and I, if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are not hostage to the fears and the anxieties of our times. We are not hostage to the fears and anxieties of our times. We of all people are looking up. We of all people know that we have a destiny. We of all people know that our God has said He will never leave us nor forsake us. We of all people know that we have a home to go to. We of all people know that He is with us as we stay faithful to Him and His word. We are not abandoned. And we have a message of hope to take to those who are hopeless and lost in their sins. So look up! Yes, the coming of the Lord Jesus does draw near. Terrible, perilous times are here. But be of good cheer. Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." Be of good cheer. What has overcome the world? God, our faith in God and His promises that are yes in Christ Jesus. So don't scoff at God's word. Let's treat Him and the word with the reverence and the respect they deserve. They that honour me, I will honour. Amen.